Take out your Bibles. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. Confessing sins. True and false confessions. When it's a real confession, when it's kind of a hypocritical confession. When God accepts it and when God does not accept it. True and false confessions. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, and the we there means Christians. If we as Christians say that we have no sin, we as Christians, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, now here's the main part, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. Faithful means you can trust Him every time. Do you ever get tired of confessing your sins? You ever think, Lord, you've heard this before. I've been here before. I've said this before. But God says every time that we confess the sins, He will forgive them. He doesn't get tired of hearing about it. So we confess our sins. He's faithful and He's just. Just means it doesn't go against His justice or His holiness. He's right to do it. He's correct to do it because our sins have been forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is right for God to do this. You say, well, it's kind of unfair to the Lord. We sin and all we do is confess them and He forgives us. Well, let's back up a little. We don't just confess them. There's more to that word than a lot of people think. That's what I want to preach on tonight. First of all, a thought I have here in the introduction. Number one, it's difficult to tell if people are sincere. But it's not difficult for the Lord. He knows if people are sincere or not about their confessions. Secondly, confession, and this is one of the reasons it's so important, confession precedes salvation. You can't be saved until there's the right kind of confession of sins, the right kind of dealing with our personal sins, the right kind of and wrong kind of attitude towards our sins. So confession precedes salvation. There has to be a confessing of sins in that way. And then also there is hypocritical confession. We know that. People confess their sins for the wrong reasons. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight a little bit. I've got seven or eight different thoughts here on this, the true and false confessions and the way people confess their sins that are not real good. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, we'll start there. The first thought here I have about false confession, confessing lesser sins but ignoring greater sins. We all have, you know, even as Christians, we still confess our sins. That's what 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is about. But there's a confession where we can confess our lesser sins, but keep and not confess our greater sins. And there are some sins that are worse than others. The Bible says that, talking about different degrees. But lesser sins, we can confess smaller things, but the things that really are, things that we really love, that's greater sins, we don't confess that. Now, here's an example in Matthew 23, verse 23. And it's talking about the Pharisees here. Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Well, that's a strong word there, hypocrite. In other words, you're claiming to be what you really are not. You're making a show and a pretense of what you really are not. Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters. Weightier things that are more important. There's some things that are more important than other things. And have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done. And not to leave the other undone. What you're doing is right. You need to tithe on those of mint and anise and cumin, like it says there. But the weightier matters, the more important things, are the matters that deal with the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. They're showing a degree of difference here. Now, all sin is sin, but there are some sins worse than others, and there needs to be confession of all our sins, not just the lesser sins. And there is a difference there. There's a difference between the lesser sins and the greater sins in our lives. The Pharisees had the problem with the weightier matters. They did the smaller things right, but they did not do the greater things right. Can that happen? Yeah, it can happen. Does it happen even in churches? Yeah, it happens in churches. We need to confess not only the lesser sins, if we're not doing that, but also those greater sins, the things that we do that we are more at fault with. And it's kind of interesting here in verse 23, the things that are called weightier matters here, notice what they are. The law, judgment, making the right kind of judgment on things, mercy, being merciful to other people, being as merciful as God is. They weren't doing that, were they? And faith, believing the right things. Those are far more important than tithing on those small little herbs like they did there, isn't it? But judgment, mercy, and faith, and the law, these are more important than other things. And yet in our churches, we can have that problem too. We can have that individually, our problem too. Number two, confessing sins in general, but forgetting particular sins. Lord, bless our missionaries. Okay, that's okay. But get down to, Lord, bless Todd Holland there. He might get his passport. Get specific in our, when we talk about when we pray for things, but get specific in our confessing of sin also. Here's a little quote that goes along with this. Where confession is right, it will be specific. But he got specific with the Pharisees. How many times in the Old Testament, too, did the Lord God Almighty get on Israel and told them all their sins? And he got specific, exactly what they were doing wrong. He didn't just accuse them in general, but he brought up specific sins. This is where you're doing it wrong. This is what you're doing wrong. Throughout the Old Testament, time and time and time again, that's what they did. God pointed out specific sins. He never dealt with just generalities until after he got through with the specific sins. So important. Christian, when you pray, name that sin. Well, that almost sounds like a quiz program or something. Name that sin. Name that sin. Be specific. I'm sure you've done that before. You've named this. Doesn't it make you feel uneasy, embarrassed? Oh, Lord. And you name the sin in your confession. It's embarrassing. But embarrassment is a humbling thing too, isn't it? It's good to humble ourselves. So confessing sins in general doesn't really do the job because it seems like you're trying to hide from those particular sins that you should be confessing. Boy, that's convicting tonight. Pray specifically. But remember the good news. If we confess our sins, what? God will forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Pray specifically about those things. Number three. Another type of hypocritical confession is confessing sins under pressure when you're forced to. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 7 about confessing your sins only when the pressure is put upon you, only when you're forced to, when there's no way out, there's no excuses, no justifications you can come up with anymore, and you just realize you've been caught. And you have to confess it because everybody knows it's true. If you try to deny it, everybody know you're a liar. I mean, it's so obvious that you've done wrong, and so obvious of you about your sin, what you've done, that you just have to admit it because you got caught when you're forced to. Joshua chapter number 7 and verse 13. See the story of Achan here. The sin's already taken place. Achan's already taken of the forbidden things. And then verse 13, the Lord speaks here, and he says, up, sanctify the people, sanctify, set them apart, there's something needs to be done, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Something's wrong. Something needs to be dealt with. And he calls it accursed. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies. Here's why, how and why we are defeated as Christians. Because there's something we need to deal with and we're not. And it shows because we do not stand before our enemies. We do not have the victory in our Christian walk. Because there's something there, and we know it's there, and we're hiding it. We think we're hiding it from God, but He knows it's there. You've got to deal with it. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies. Now that in itself ought to scare you, because we have enemies, and I don't want them to have the victory over me. I want to have the victory over them. I want to have the victory over my enemies, sin, self, and Satan. I want to have the victory over those things. And it says here, if you allow these things, there's some accursed thing there. There's something you're not dealing with in your life. Thou canst not stand before your enemies. You're not going to have victory anymore. Until. I like the word until. It means it can be changed. It can be better. You can have the victory until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Then if we go down to verse number 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, kind of narrowing it down. You ever been there where you know you're the one they're trying to find or something, and people are being eliminated, and it's getting closer and closer and closer to you? It's an exciting place to be, scary place to be. So Zarahites man by man. And Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan here, finally. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. So in other words, do this before the Lord God Almighty. This is important. The witness here is God Himself. God Himself is the witness here. To make the Lord of Israel and make confession, there's our word confession, unto Him. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Yeah. Verse 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned. Well, yeah. Everybody knows now he's the whole one. They went through the whole list. They went through all these people, narrowed down to Achan. And Achan, everybody knew, was guilty. And he admits his guilt. You see a little hypocrisy here. You think, what's wrong with this picture? Because he's just being forced to it. He has no justification. He has no way to excuse it. He knows he's on the spot. He knows he's guilty of it all. And so what else can he say? What else can he say? But yeah, I'm guilty. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. By the way, I think this is a little insight, a little example, that's a better word, example, of the great white throne judgment someday, when all the lost people will stand before the Lord one by one. None of them will have an excuse. None of them will have an opportunity to make things right. Too late. Too late. Make things right now. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them. He wanted them badly and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. See, every sin's going to be brought out. Every sin's going to be brought out eventually. Why not bring it out yourself now personally and pray to the Lord about it? So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Achan, you're guilty. Verse 24, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Because sin affects other people too. The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. People say, well, God doesn't do that. Today is the New Testament, Age of Grace. Yes, it is. But there's coming a time when the Age of Grace and His mercy is over too. And then there will be only judgment. Only judgment. like I said, at the great white throne judgment there. Take care of matters now. When you're finally found out, it's too late then. Don't put it off. Confess it before the Lord. He keeps it private, confidential, and he forgives you. And then after that, he blesses you. He blesses you after that too. Get the blessing. Meet the conditions. Confess those sins so God can bless you without any limits, without any limits at all. Well, do that. Confess your sins. Don't wait until you're under pressure, until you're found out. It's too late then. It's too late then. All right, here's another false confession. Confessing sins without any intention of forsaking them. Proverbs 28, verse number 13. Now again, I bring this up often because I want people to understand this too. We're not talking sinless perfection, but we're talking desire to be right in God's sight. We're talking about a situation in a Christian's personal life where he knows he needs to deal with something, and he does deal with it, and he wants to quit every single time we confess our sins. We should have the attitude, I don't want to do this ever again. When we confess our sins, it has to have that attitude. I want to forsake them. I don't ever want to do this sin again. And then what happens when you sin again? Now, I'm not saying you ought to or you have to, but I'm saying it does happen, though, doesn't it? Let's be honest tonight. It does happen. It's the same sins, too. If you start to get cold away from the Lord, you'll go back to the same sins that you did before you got saved. It's not going to be a different sin or a different kind of sin. You're going to go back to the same old ways, the same old sin you did before you got saved. That'll be your direction, at least your direction. But you need to forsake it. And every time you confess your sin, you need to have the attitude, Lord, I don't ever want to do this again. Lord, please give me the victory. I confess my sin. You name that sin. You're specific about it. And you say, I don't ever want to do this again. And God will forgive you, but you have to have that attitude too. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13. Let's read it. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them. See? That's part of confession. The desire, you don't want to do this anymore. Forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know, in the Catholic Church, they have last rites where somebody's ready to die. They go, the priest goes there and they do their whatever it is they do over the person because they're trying to get rid of the sins up to that point. And that up to that point, then they're forgiven. That's so different from the way the Bible talks about confession of sins, doesn't it? It talks about confession of sins not just to cover them and to kind of get rid of them so they won't trouble you later. You're still not accountable. But you confess your sins with the attitude, you don't want to do this anymore. You want to quit this sin. You want to just stop doing this sin. Not just be forgiven, you want to stop doing this sin too and change things around there. Now, will you do that sin later on again? Maybe. In some ways we do. But then we need to confess it. But a confession without a desire to forsake it is not a confession accepted by God. Confession must include that desire of forsaking that sin, that sin bothers you. You don't want to do it. You want to stop. May that be your last time ever that you got on your knees and you called out to God to forgive you for that sin. May that be the last time you ever do that sin. But it does happen. But you know something? Over time, there comes a weakening of that sin. There becomes a stronger stand against that sin. You do get stronger, and sometimes it happens where that is the last time you have to confess that sin. The last time. But you have to have that attitude. For biblical confession of sins, you have to have the attitude you want to forsake that sin too. You want to stop that sin. You want to quit that sin, and you want to make that the last time you ever have to confess that sin. Whether it happens or not, that's a desire, though, when we confess our sins. All right, what's another kind of hypocritical confession of sins? Well, when we confess our sins because we want to be relieved from the consequences of the sin. There's a fear of punishment. You know, when we confess our sins, it should not be because we don't want the consequences of sin in our life. We know there's consequences, and they're bad consequences, not good consequences. In fact, a lot of people wish they could find a way where they could sin with no consequences. Sinning without consequences does not happen. We need to get our head out of the clouds. Maybe that's a very blunt way to say it, but get your head out of the clouds. All sin has consequences. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. And you cannot sin without those consequences. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's Numbers chapter 32. Don't confess your sin just because you want your life to be easier, just because you want your life to be more comfortable, and you don't want to have to suffer and go through that bad experience. Confess your sins because God doesn't like it, and God's against it, and you're going against God Almighty. That's why we need to confess our sins, because we're going against God's word and God's command that we should love. We should love. Should be because our sins are against God. That's why we need to confess our sins, because they are disobedience and rebellion against an almighty, holy, loving God. Confess your sins for those reasons. But a lot of people, if they could only figure a way to keep doing their sins but not have the bad part attached to it. Yeah. Confessing sins, different types of hypocritical. One last thought tonight yet. Confessing sins but still loving them. You know, the Bible talks about that as being a double-minded man. He wants heaven, but he wants the world too. He wants Jesus Christ, but he wants his sin too. And I'll tell you, they connive and they try to figure, how can I do this? How can I have salvation but not have to repent of my sin too? Well, the Bible doesn't give that option, does it? Now, what's the last thought I want to bring up here? When we confess our sins, has God accepted our confession? Has God accepted it, our confession? All these things, hypocritical confessions. But understand and realize, friends, too, that when you do things right, God accepts it. And the blessings that are attached to that. The negative things, if they're not, the blessings, if there are. Do things right. Confess that sin before the Lord in the right way. Don't let there be any hypocrisy attached to it. If we confess our sins, it opens up, for those that are not saved, it opens up salvation. And if they are saved, it opens up a right relationship with the Lord, a close walk with Him. And what's more blessed than that? A close walk with our Lord. Heavenly Father, as we think about these things, the hypocrisy that can be involved in people's confessions and their confession of their sins. And Lord, I pray we're not guilty of that. But Lord, I'm sure we are at different times. Forgive us for that too. We pray for that. We need to have that idea and thought of forsaking our sins too, not just confessing them to cover them, but forsaking them too. So Lord, search our hearts. Give us what we need tonight. Work in people's hearts. Lord, you know our needs better than we know ourselves. And so we pray as we have this time of invitation and this time of prayer that you'll use this time to work in people's lives. And may this be a very special time of our service tonight too. In Jesus' name now I pray and ask it. Amen.